left off.
Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, world, and welcome to Realty Universal Radio, the fastest hour in radio, no doubt about it. I'm Randy Zachary, and this is a show about real estate, about God, about life, about giving back, about being the change in the world that you'd like to see. I'm privileged to bring to you Natalie Mullinex and Realty Universal, a company dedicated to excellence. Realty Universal is a revolution founded on a very simple principle. We believe sellers and buyers should have choices. We have been a pioneer in the menu program system. More on that, of course, a little later. Natalie Mullinex, president and founder of Realty Universal, averaged over $80 million a year in sales. Natalie has been in the top 1% in the country for over 25 years and number one in Hawaii for 2 years prior to stepping back to building Realty Universal. She's an accomplished speaker, writer, consultant, trainer, and, oh, by the way, mother. She travels worldwide, literally spreading the gospel, if you will, of Realty Universal. And she joins us now. Hey, Natalie.
Hey, Randy. How are you?
Doing well.
How's
doing well.
Going got, over there.
Got some sunshine in Cali today. So
wow.
We're glad about that. Yeah. It was
that
raining,
so cool.
Man. We've had some brutal rain the last couple days.
Ah, the storms
okay.
are everywhere, aren't they? That's so cool. Hey, congratulations on your shows on August 1st that are starting on the network. Just want to congratulate
yeah,
you.
Yeah, Salem Radio Network. It's you know, kind of a lifelong dream of being nationally
it's
syndicated,
huge.
And you know, it's a weekend show to begin with, but it's at least we're on the satellite, so that we're available in you know the top 200
markets in
the country.
Oh no, Randy, it's huge! It's huge! I can't believe, and you were on the Oz show before and everything. I'm like, oh my God, this is so cool. It's so cool. And your message that you and Monica have can help so many people. And this is just like, I think it's just amazing.
Yeah,
well,
it's important.
You
know, like you say, we say it all the time about, you know, keeping God first and doing the right thing and staying on the journey, you know, staying, waking up every day going, instead of, you know, God, why me, you know, poor me, instead saying, what am I supposed to learn out of this? You know, what am I supposed to learn out of this today?
And commitment, you know, commitment in a marriage is so huge, right? And if you follow the steps, it's amazing.
Yeah.
Commitment in anything is huge. And it's just, I think, and our faith in God makes it so, helps us weather the storms that we're all going to face. I mean, part of being human and part of being on earth is we're going to weather some storms, right? So it's...
Well, yeah, and you know, we're not, you know, by any means experts. I think you become an expert because you make enough mistakes and you can tell everybody what not to do. But, you know, Monica and I recently went through kind of a two or three-day funk where, you know, we just weren't really, we were kind of ticked off at each other. And
oh, no, it was a full moon.
I don't know. You know what? It might have been. I think it might have been a full moon. There it is.
We just finished one this past week. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
That's what it is. But we just, you know, now in years past, that would have escalated into a, you know, a month-long kind of separation, if you will.
Oh, yeah.
And
good
and
point.
Instead, we just, you know, when I sense it happening, we talk about it right away. And I'm like, hey, I feel like we're drifting. I'm not sure why. Is it something I said? And you know, and she shared with me some things that were bugging her about me, and I shared some things that were bugging me about her. And we got
wow.
it all out. You're like, okay, that's the way it's supposed to be done.
Wow.
But that's after years and years of, you know, trying to figure it out. So, yeah.
And then you can teach people. You can teach people these tools. And is it like when you do? You have a workshop. It's like a 3-day workshop, or
yeah.
We do
different things. You know, various things at churches, seminars, and going to be incorporating some more. Always rewriting, revamping. You know. Kind of as God downloads more cool stuff, you want to kind of regroup and you know, the reason you download it is, of course, he wants you to kind of offload it and spread it around. So when we get new material,
you know how we're taught to turn it over to God, and it's hard, like when we're having a problem, it's hard to not hyper-focus on the problem. And the more hyper-focus on it, the more we're bringing it to us. And we all do. I mean, we're human, and it's funny how, yeah, that turning it over and having the tools, and God gives us such great tools in the Bible, it's just amazing, and I think it's just, you know, you get older and you start to see how this stuff doesn't have to be so difficult. And, you know, now going through what I went through with losing my brother and the major, major grief and depression surrounding the whole event, you know, with the trauma of how it happened and the justice isn't there and all those things. And going through it all, it's like now when you have the good days, it's like I'm cherishing these good days. I'm not taking them for granted anymore. You know, like when you're younger, lots of times we just take life for granted. You know what I mean? I'm like, oh, it's awesome. You know, and it's just amazing how everything just falls into place when you really do have faith and, you know, and do your part too. And commitment's so awesome. I mean, if you're in a marriage and we'll get started on our show in a minute. But in a marriage, I mean, if two people are really committed, like, why be in the marriage if you're not committed, right? Of course, there's going to be good days, bad days. People change. People grow differently. All kinds of things can happen. Of course, I'm not an expert. I've been divorced for years. But I'm saying there should be a commitment. There's so many people walking around married that are cheating on each other, and I think it's downright disgusting. I think it's a sign of no backbone for the man or the woman because there should be honesty. And when there's honesty and trust and faith, and like you mentioned, you and Monica, you know, just feeling funny for a couple of days and you were able to talk about it after years of your knowledge, that you also have years of, you know, you love each other and you know you're committed, you're in for the long haul. And when somebody knows that about their partner, it gives a sense of peace, right? It's like, I can rely on you, just like we rely on God. And I think that's, you know, it's just amazing. And it's just, it's awesome. So anyhow, kudos. I can't wait to hear your show on the 1st of August. I think it's going to be so cool.
It'll be fun.
Spread it out there. So today we are going to be talking about a couple topics. Of course, real estate, the first half. And on the second half, you've got a very interesting speaker.
Kaylin Benham is her name, and she's the founder of an organization called One Revealed, and really has a process for personal healing, and not only personal healing, but then taking your story that God specifically gave you and inspire others with it, and how to live out of your core, how to understand what your core is, what your core values are. A lot of work to that I don't think a lot of people spend a lot of time trying to figure out. I think we go through life, you know, and if we want to get clarity, you know, we've got to kind of work on some stuff and figure out what's driving our behavior and, you know, and figure that out and then move on. And in all of our stories, you know, God's given us our story so that we can, again, as we say, encourage other people. And so she, very, very articulate. She has a great story herself, and just really impressed with her, heard her recently. But man, we got to get her on the show, so she'd fit right in the second half. So she'll be on the second half. And first half, we're talking about what? Looking for properties around the world, right?
How to find them, right? Yeah. Well, now thanks to the internet, we have so many more resources to find these properties when looking for them, and we've got our Realty Universal network, which we've been building for quite a long time. And then we also belong to FIABCI, and it's spelled FIABCI, which is an international real estate federation that was actually started in Paris. It's still based in Paris, and it was started in 1948, and I'm proud to be a member. We have other brokers that we work with and all over the world that are committed, you know, that you know are already professional and committed to do the work, and we have our programs are out there as well. So all over the world, it's nice to be able to have a connection somewhere if you're looking to buy somewhere, just to be able to be covered and protected where you're going to be, you know. It's interesting being in real estate brokerage how the laws are so different all over the world. We have National Association of Realtors in the U.S., and that specifically, that's a that's, you don't, it's not mandatory to belong, but it is mandatory under certain local associations that you belong if you're going to belong to the local association. But they have code of ethics and gosh, it was started well over 150 years ago. And the first one was started in Baltimore, Maryland, which we belong to as well, which is so funny. And there's different regulations. So even if somebody doesn't belong to boards in the U.S., they have to, if they're going to sell real estate as an agent or broker, they have to have a license in each state. Well, in many countries, there's no license required. And, for example, in the European Union, they're just starting, like in the UK, to have certain solicitor licenses and certain requirements. They're just starting to push different rules. So it's pretty interesting when you may just assume, okay, I'm going to go to another country and I'm going to buy something and I'm safe, right? So it's not always the case. So it's really good to be able to be part of a network, to be able to get the information, be referred to the right people, right attorneys, right brokers to help you, and the right other associations. So that's where Realty Universal can do that. You know, it's as simple as just going to realtyuniversal.com and filling out Contact Us and be as specific as possible as to what location you want to go to or where you want to have more information sent to you at. And, of course, you know, many times people know somebody in that country or that community or et cetera, but not always, right? And then we've mentioned before on our show, internationalliving.com gives a whole resource of information on different areas. But today specifically, we wanted to mention, and this Theopsy is not our only network. We have a Realty Universal network, and then we have other networks amongst other networks. So it's a really good starting point to be able to get through to people that we know are going to be good to work with. You know, that's a huge thing. You know, I mean, you know, what do you want to, you always want a referral, right? You want to know somebody else has used them, somebody's worked with these people, and how do I know they have credentials that, you know, that they're legit? I think that's a really big thing these days, because you don't want to go to buy property somewhere where you can't even legally buy, because many countries have different citizenship rules in buying. You don't want to go where you think you're safe and you've just plopped down thousands of dollars and you're taken for a ride, you know. So we wanted to put that out there and offer it, and because more and more people are finding that they can actually retire in other countries sometimes for a lot less than what we pay in the U.S. Oh. And very interesting. It's like opening up another world, you know. Sometimes people say, oh, I'm here forever and there's nowhere else I can go. And it's like, well, are you happy where you are? If you're happy and your life's beautiful and that's what you want, that's fine. But have you ever desired to venture out and try these other countries? Or, you know, and lots of times it's just knowledge, and we can get you started on that path, which is, of course, with the Internet and you Google and everything else. But this is just another avenue. Like, for example, Dubai has been taken off like gangbusters in the last few years when it comes in reference to real estate. You know, and a lot of countries like South America, Brazil's doing very well. You know, there's just so many places to go to. Wouldn't it be nice to just be able to do your worldwide trips? Like oh, it'd be so much fun to just stop here, stop there.
How about Costa Rica? I know a couple of years ago I heard Costa Rica was really, a lot of Americans were buying.
Yeah, I have some clients in Costa Rica. And yeah, absolutely. A lot of people in Costa Rica. And Belize, Belize is another place. Ecuador is something that seems to be taken off pretty well, too, as far as cost of living. And, it's just amazing to me. There's just so many places. There's so many more places than just the United States of America, right?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, though it's a wonderful country. It's just, yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's cool to just even as you talk about that, it begins to open up, you know, the possibility. And I think, like you say, a lot of people don't even entertain the idea. And it could be that, you know, you could find, as you say, a better situation even financially and live in a more kind of exotic place, if you will. I mean, that's so cool.
In India, and it's amazing. India has got so much going on, too. I mean, unbelievable. You know, they've got projects there, and we've got brokers we work with there, and it's just pretty amazing. And you know, the other thing too is like, if somebody's going and they're taking their hard-earned savings in retirement and want to figure out, you know, there's places people can live for $2,000 a month and own a place, you know, like even less. I mean, in certain countries, and still buy the real estate. And but it's important though that, I mean, of course you want to check with the local chambers of commerce and groups. And but it's important that somebody makes sure that they're really covered. You don't want to go and it seems too good to be true, and it is, and you're getting into the wrong hands. You know, so that's it's exciting. And again, International Living, I'm giving them a plug-in here, has a lot of resources for a lot of good information on where to go, what not to do, local community information. But sometimes everybody just needs a start and a helping hand. And you know me, I have the travel bug in me. I just couldn't imagine just staying in one spot all the time forever and ever and ever.
Yeah, I'm that way too. I know some people, I heard it described this way as, you know, some people are farmers and they are okay with, you know, the same row or the same field, different row the next day and, you know, routine. And then there are some people who just want to know what's over that next hill, you know, and that's me. I'm like, what's going on over there, man? I don't know. I mean, son, I'm living vicariously through my son Travis right now, who's managing a band, and he's on his third trip back to Europe this year.
Wow, that has got to be, where is he right now? Is he just all over Europe?
He's in Russia right now.
Wow.
He just posted on Facebook a picture of him in St. Petersburg, Russia, and it's midnight, and it's light outside, because I guess they're up there near the, whatever it is, where it's light, you know,
wow,
at night. He just travels and sends pictures on Facebook of him from, you know, all over the place. He was on top of the British Parliament in London the other day, and Big Ben in the background.
Oh, wow, that's got to be so amazing.
Well, he's just he's a manager for a band, and they're kind of a young group of guys, mid-20s, so they're kind of scrungy-looking, long-haired guys with jeans and tattoos. And, you know, here they roll into some of these places, and they're just a very popular band. They're selling out arenas all over Europe. And they just sold out Wembley Stadium, which is a big deal, where the Stones played, and you know, and
that's
U2
huge.
And all that. So, yeah. So,
God, how
so
long
Travis,
he been, how long has he been into this?
About 3 years. He graduated from Chico State with a degree in political science, and he had a couple buddies in a band, and they were kind of touring the country, and he went along essentially for free, just to kind of shoot some video for them because they were friends. And he had nothing else to do. Well, he kind of got the bug, and this band kind of got bigger and bigger, and then they actually, he met a guy from Atlantic Records, and the guy hired him, and then he began traveling with various bands in the U.S., and then he got hired by this other band to be their tour manager, and they literally, this year, this is their third trip. They've been to Hong Kong, Singapore, Germany, France, just everywhere. And so he said this tour, they're going like the northern, is it northern or maybe eastern Europe, where they're going like Czechoslovakia, Sweden, Norway, Russia.
Oh my God, what an experience. Yeah. What's the name of the band? I know you had...
It's All Time Low is the name of the band. All Time Low.
Do they play, what do they play?
They're kind of you know, their target audience is, you know, young girls, so they play the kind of lovey, lovey kind of rock, punk rock.
Gosh, your son must be having
a
blast. It's like a,
you know, he is.
My,
he comes
what an
back
experience.
And he gets a little burned out on it, but then when he gets back here and he starts telling the stories of, you know, of where they've been, and, you know, Japan, and I guess they're going to China, next year, and you know, but the stories that he tells and the things he's learning from all these different places. He said he got to tour, what is that, 10 Downing, where the Prime Minister of Britain lives.
Wow.
And he got to literally sit in the chair that Winston Churchill, you know, sat in when he signed the World War II Declaration
of
Peace. You know, just stuff like that. So, that's
amazing.
I know he's living. I'm living vicariously through him, because
exactly.
When I see his pictures posted, I'm like, "Wow, dude!" And he'll come back and go, "You know, Dad, I'm 26. A lot of my friends are married, and I feel like I should be settling down." I go, "Guess what? all of those friends, they want to be you, my friend. So
exactly. And he has plenty of time to settle down, and then he'll have all the wonderful experiences. And, oh, my God, he can write his own ticket with what he's doing, too.
I know you're a traveler, and he told me, he goes, because I guess his miles are now over 50,000 or whatever miles.
Oh,
which
cool.
Means,
so he gets another ticket. Oh, he's going to give you one?
Well, he gets all these, like, I guess at airports there's all these big dog, high mile club people who, you know, you go to a different part of the hotel, the restaurant or the
right.
the airport.
Right, if you get the, yeah, the lounges.
He said it's a whole nother world, man. And, you know, they'll walk into this, you know, area in the airport where it's for the, what do they call them, platinum club or whatever, you know. And, because they're platinum miles or whatever. And, of course, everybody there is the businessmen, $500 suits. And here's these, you know, hippie jean long hair kids walking in. They're like, what do you guys, you know, people are looking at them. Obviously, they belong, and obviously, they're a rock band. But,
it's just a whole new, he's got to be in heaven. It's such a great experience. I mean, that is the amazing, wow.
Yeah,
he's so blessed. That's,
I keep telling him that, and he realizes it. I mean, he does. He does say, though, he goes, literally, though, this is my third trip this year to Europe. He goes, you know, love France, love Britain, love it, you know, love it all. But he goes, literally, the third time you kind of go, okay, been here, you know.
He's got hard work, and it's really, you know, it's really a lot of hard work, and it's tough, and it's, you know, and everything. So it's like, but the experiences and what he's getting is just so incredible. It's just, oh, he's blessed.
Yeah.
It's but right, no matter what we're doing, you know, when you're engaged in the work, it's still work, right? But,
it's
hard work,
glamorous.
But that's so exciting. I was sitting there, look, the Theopsy group, they've got, there's an Asian Real Estate Congress convention in Singapore in September, and then they're going to have another meeting in Dublin, Ireland, in December. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, can you imagine being able to, the 2013, there's another Congress, European Congress is going to be, is it Riga, Latvia, I guess I should know how to pronounce something if I'm saying it right, Latvia. And then in India, they've got, I mean, I'm just like looking, going, oh my gosh, can you imagine? Then they have another, they have something in March in Cannes, France. And it's just, Theopsy is a really phenomenal organization. They've also support a lot of environmental initiatives regarding real estate around the world. And it's so much fun. They've got Cayman Islands. I don't know if anyone's ever thought about that, or Canada. Panama, we've got, I mean, Turkey, Thailand, I don't know about the China, you know, there's so much. They just had the last convention in Taiwan in May. It's just amazing. And, of course, they're all over, we've got connections all over the United States, and it's just pretty, pretty interesting. And a lot of places, if somebody wants to go and they even want to check it out for 6 months and do visas, you know, there's just so many ways to get involved and do this. You can also contact your local embassy to see if you have an American passport. You know, you can find out what the of course you can Google, but it's always good to check with the local embassy and find out what you need to go to these other countries and you know, how you can do it. I have a dual citizenship, so I'm with French and American, which is fun because it's easier, you know, when you go to countries. Yeah, I remember when I went through, it was Laura Shell over to London, and I'm pulling out my American passport, and then I go out and pull my French. It depends on which line's shorter, you know. Sometimes you're like, okay, this line's shorter, I'm going to use. And one of the people there working says, just use your French over here. It's so much easier when you go through the other areas. And I'm like, okay.
Oh, yeah.
It's like,
I saw in 60 Minutes the other night, they were talking about French workers and how the French must take a minimum of 5 weeks vacation each year.
They must.
In other words, their whole,
you
know, and they're making fun of Americans about how, you know, how much work we do, and there's, you know, a lot of them, 5 to 8 weeks, some companies let them take 8 weeks a year paid vacation. They believe that much in, you know, in enjoying life. It's a different mindset.
You know, and we all should do that, incorporate that in our regular life, right? You know, so that people are, you know, because work can be a lot of fun if people are working, they're doing what they like, and they're incorporating the good parts about it. You know, you don't, it's all, so we can learn from a lot of countries, you know, in these lifestyle changes that, you know, they're still having to make money, they're still having to pay bills, they're still having to take care of their family, but they've just learned how to incorporate it in a different way to where they're respecting and honoring that time off rather than saying, oh, I should be working, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's, we open it up and we challenge anybody listening to the call and any of our archive listeners. You know, if you haven't been traveling throughout your life and just, oh, well, great, well, you have to be able to afford it. Well, no, if you really want to do it, you can put something together, you know, even a quick trip or even there's so many ways. And again, I mentioned internationalliving.com where they've got, you can actually do different things and assignments and actually be able to travel that way. And of course, then somebody still needs to take off work and you say, well, how do I do this? Well, say you only get 1 week a year, which you should hopefully get a little bit more. But if you tie that weekend with 2 days before and 2 days after, then you've got, you know, you've just stretched into 9 days. And I can guarantee you there's a way for you to work it out if you do it ahead of time. And maybe you're going to give up your one coffee a day or your latte a day and take that money and put it in your vacation jar, right? Or something you can cut back on that you're doing, and especially if you're smoking cigarettes, go to get those smokeless cigarettes. I'm just saying, there's so many ways that you can do things when you put your mind to it, right? So I just challenge anyone out there to give yourself a treat and open up the horizon, or even if you just find out information and start watching, you know, the videos on other countries or learning. It's such an education, and our minds are not made to just be humdrum. You know, when we expand and we dig in and we start learning on working on changing, working on us, working on everything, you know, it's just amazing what it opens up. And you know, our first half, of course, is real estate, and I'm sure people listening are going, boy, Randy and Natalie really get off the topic, right? Well, it's not so much that we're getting off the topic. We're actually coming around full circle, and because it all ties in, this is the real world, right? And it's just amazing when you – I challenge you to get out there and look at a world map. Even Google a world map and just look at – I bet you there's countries you've never heard of. I bet you, no matter, you know. And could be tiny, tiny countries. Some their country can be tiny, right? There's no requirement to the size of countries, right? So it's interesting. So we're almost ready for our second half. Boy, your son, he should be – it would be great if he could be talking into, like, journaling or doing some form of journaling so he can put together his travel itinerary, right, of his history of what he's done. Because it could benefit many people.
He is. He's journaling, and then he shoots a lot of video. Of course, that's all he did for Atlantic Records is he would, you know, shoot all the behind the scenes, behind the stage – backstage, you know, pre-concert stuff, and then he would on the fly not only shoot the video, but then he would edit it and get it on the band's website, you know, the night of the concert, so people who went can see, you know, kind of a snapshot of the concert, and he did that, and then now that he's tour managing, it's harder to shoot, you know, video, so he's taking a lot of pictures. But as tour manager, he's having to, you know, his job is to take care of the band, to schedule everything, to make sure everything, you know, goes well, to make sure they get paid, that they're not getting ripped off by the promoter, you know,
could write a kid on how to do that. I get, you know, when this informational world we've gotten into, my antenna always goes, oh, we could do, you know, or dad can put it together for him.
I mean, how we could do he's saying, you know, they toured. They're touring with Green Day, which is a pretty big band and has been a big band for many years. And he said Green Day does literally about $1.5 million to almost $2 million a night in just merchandise.
Really?
In Europe, they're selling
$1.5 million to $2 million
a night.
That's amazing.
In cash that they're collecting. And
that's
I go, so what do you do with all that, man? He goes, well, they, you know, they get it to the bank as soon as they can. But, you know, I go, because some of that you're hanging on to a couple $100 million in cash.
That's amazing,
you know, overnight.
To me. That's amazing what they can,
No wonder those guys are out on tour, you know, all year long. you're making that kind of money. My goodness.
Oh, my God.
Amazing. So,
no, it's just amazing.
Yeah.
What a different world, you know, what a different world to get into that and to look at it so differently and what they're able to do. Oh, wow, it's amazing. Just
yeah.
Wonderful.
Yep,
and,
yep. Realty Universal Radio is the name of our show. And again, realtyuniversal.com, the website, and feel free to check that out. Lots and lots of good stuff there. And then again, could you just, before we head to the next section, Natalie, one more time, you mentioned the, it wasn't necessarily a website, but it was.
Oh, okay, the actual FEOPSI, sure. FEOPSI,
yeah.
And they do actually have a website. I'm going to give that on here. And
okay.
It's FIABCI.org, FEOPSI. So it's F as in Frank, I as in Island, A as in Apple, B as in Boy, C as in Cat, I as in Island, .org. It's FEOPSI International Real Estate Federation, and we belong to that. And wonderful, wonderful. And so, yeah, people can go on there and you can find people. You can contact us at realityuniversal.com, too, for more information.
Oh, okay.
And it's just wonderful, you know, when people come together and build networks and then everybody's coming together for the good purpose and unified purposes. It's just really, it's fun. And it's nice because we, you know, different FEOPSI members, I mean, you can go to another country and say, okay, I'm a FEOPSI member, and people are happy to tour and show you around and give you great advice. So it's all wonderful.
Very cool, very cool. Well, we're at the bottom of the hour, and as usual, our method of madness here is first half to share real estate nuggets with Natalie Mullenix, president and founder of Realty Universal. And the second half, we really dedicate to inspiration, motivation, giving back, personal growth, all of the above, and very, very cool. We've had some amazing guests over the past year and a half. And I believe Caitlin
yes.
Benham is with us. Caitlin, are you there?
Here I am.
Hi.
Hi.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Welcome. Hey, we're going to dive right in now. It looks like somebody else called, too, real quick. Did you have another guest
Scott's
on, Caitlin?
Scott's in, too. We're both in.
Oh, Scott
awesome.
Is, too. Awesome.
Welcome, welcome.
This is a
looking
husband and
it.
Wife team. Yes. Natalie Mullenix, Scott, and Caitlin Benham. And again, the organization that we were talking about that they are founding and running is called One Revealed. And Caitlin, would you kind of give us the kind of the purpose statement, if you will, of what you guys are about?
Yeah, I'd love to. So we are One Revealed, and what we love about ourselves is we are a movement that will engage and unite people in the process to reveal themselves, to be known by others, and hopefully inspire other people to do the same. So, yeah, we believe everyone has a story, and so we help people find their voice and tell their story so hearts can be healed.
Wow. Wow. And there is power in a story. I say that over and over and over again, you know, on multiple radio shows, but I know we're all you know, we're all kind of touched by to the core. That's what I think, you know, affects us when we go to a movie and see an amazing movie is, you know, somehow we're touched by something in that story. And it's a pretty deep kind of a deal. And Scott, you're on board as well. Welcome, buddy.
All right, how are you?
Good, man. Glad to have you on board.
Thank you for being on.
Absolutely.
Caitlin and Scott, tell us a little bit about, Caitlin, what brought you to this point that, or brought you to the point of saying, hey, we need to get this out to the world. This is going to help so many people. What inspired, what was your story that brought you to this point or that point?
For me, this really kind of started when I started a new career and it involved traveling. And that traveling, what it did was it started to clarify a lot of maybe areas of struggle that we never had to deal with. Me being away with two young children at home, and we really found ourselves having to work at a higher level of concentration on you know issues that we never had to work on before. So as we started to get clarity around what those things kind of reveal, like our wounds as we call them, it gave us a substantial amount of hope, because we realized the more that we shared, we wanted to find freedom in sharing that struggle with others. The more that we shared, we realized that we were actually engaging others to almost inviting them to say, yeah, me too. You know, but for some reason, they never felt like they had a place, an avenue to say that. You know, one example that I'll share on Kaylin's behalf, you know, just kind of being around church, she used to work for our church. She was just having some difficult time with postpartum depression. And after that, she had engaged in a conversation with one of the women at church and just said, you know, sometimes, no, I don't love, you know, being a mom and being pulled in all these directions. And it gave such freedom to that woman, because she didn't feel like it was okay to say that in such an environment. And really,
right.
That really kind of sparked our movement, as it were.
Wow, I love that.
Mm-hmm. That's a great example of how vulnerability, and you know, we find that to be true when we do marriage events at churches. Is we share mistakes we've made, we just see kind of the light go on in couples, like, oh, okay, this is a safe place here. Okay, we're going to be real here. We can share honestly here, and sadly, that may be the kind of the first safe place that marriage has experienced. And we don't really have, we could get into a whole show or five about marriages.
Wow.
And, you know, image management and
church.
Well,
yeah,
and all.
Well, yeah, I think sometimes in churches, you know, it's either safe to be in the beginning or safe to be in the end of your process of healing. But it's not always safe. There's not always a created safe space to be in the middle of your process, usually,
oh,
obviously,
good.
As we all know, the ugliest.
Yeah.
And most
yeah.
of
the raw pain.
When it all's
you
coming
will,
out,
right.
trying to, that's
mm-hmm.
that's wonderful. I love it. I love it, what you're doing. We're working on a thing called It's Time to Heal, and it's amazing how sometimes, it's amazing in life, the stuff that we stuff from years ago and problems or maybe abuse or just different things. It could be just issues that we had no idea are just affecting us in another way. The stuff we stuff can come, it comes up later in other issues, and then sometimes it takes something else to bring it all to surface. And you're right, it could get pretty ugly and pretty yucky during that time. And it's just incredible to, knowledge is power. And I think so many adults walk around, I always say denial's not a river in Egypt, because it's so easy to be in denial about things and think it's, you're upset because of this, but I'm really upset about that, you know, or, and
right.
That's interesting. I'm really, that's so
awesome.
Well,
I think, sorry, I was going to say, I think sometimes we go through the cycle of healing and we don't realize that sometimes we actually have to go through the same cycle just from an angle. So, you know, if I was abused as a child, well, I thought I healed from that 10 years ago. But now if I add a new level of revealing myself or a new level of being known in that area, I actually have to cycle again and reveal more of myself so that more of or is actually strengthened and more of my voice again comes out. That's kind of what we were talking about, Randy, is just, you know, you go through these things and you heal through these things. And sometimes even if you thought you've healed, well, now you're in a new circumstance,
wow.
situation that's rubbing up against it from a different side.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's
wow.
incredible. So, how do people find you?
You can find
us on the website
Yeah, right now we're mostly on Facebook. If you type in One Revealed Incorporated, we can be found there, otherwise online at onerevealed.com.
Okay, excellent.
So let's dig in here, because I know, again, time is going to fly. Let's talk about the process. So you guys arrived at this, the need for this process, really out of your own experience, and so you've developed really a process for people to discover really and explore their pain and then find their voice, which that gets pretty emotional for me, you know, as we talked about earlier, and how you know, growing up in an alcoholic home. And I think you said it in a way that really brought it home to me, is that when you grow up in an alcoholic home, you know, your voice is muffled. You're not allowed to have a voice. And then as you grow up as an adult, you're afraid to even try and find your voice because you're not sure if you have one, what it would sound like, right? All those fear things.
Yeah.
So you've already
you bring
really
up a really
me.
Interesting point.
Go ahead.
Sorry about that, Randy.
No, we're all supposed to cut it and go. No, we're supposed to do that. That's good. No apologies, because we all we're all, that's what we're talking all together for, so we can interject. Because it's true. It's very very. I think one thing is, lots of times if you've grown up and had dysfunction, sometimes people are thinking, "Wow, we're the only ones that had the dysfunction," and you realize, "Wait a minute, the whole world has dysfunction in some way, some shape or form." Right? We're all human. Nobody's going to have the Leave It to Beaver, you know, families all the time, right? And so I think that then that when people share and say, "Wow, you too, me too. Oh, I feel that way," it really does. There's a part of us, I think, that feels vulnerable. Oops, am I saying more than I should here? Or wait a minute. And then once you get through it and do it more and more, you start to see how that it's affecting and helping people. And maybe that's the gift that God's putting through us, right? To be able to serve, to say it's okay to talk and get it out and do these and share. And it's interesting. Brings up a lot of stuff, doesn't it? So.
Well, when you think about it, I remember early on in our relationship, you know, there was no secret that I was courting Kaylin to my wife early on, even despite some pretty obvious barriers. You know, what we learned early on was that she thought, well, the more you learn about my junk, the less that you're going to love me. And for some, you know, by God's grace alone, I simply was like, no, the more I know about you, the more I love. But that's not what society tells us. It's
right.
The facade, the more that we like that facade, because that's what we want. Because I, too, grew up in an alcoholic family, you know, not a completely, you know, the movie Alcoholic Family, but a very high-functioning alcoholic family. And there is a certain construct that exists with an alcoholic family. And as a result, as Kaylin mentioned and Randy agreed, was that voice that you have, you know, it's usually that special figure. For me, it was my father. That voice is the voice that drowns everything else out. And some of the biggest struggles that I have to this day and that I need to grow through are when I'm interacting with my dad in a situation, I lose my voice very quickly, and I need to find it, and I need to try to remain true to what my voice is, because his becomes mine in that situation. Sometimes that's the biggest identifier, is to figure out, you know, are you really being tripped up?
Yeah.
So what is, Scott, what is, as I'm listening to you, and I'm, you know, listening as if maybe I'm hearing some of this for the first time, when you say find your voice, and you know, your voice gets weakened or you lose your voice when you're with your dad, can you elaborate on that a little bit? I mean, what is your voice, and how do you know when you found it?
I like to think of my voice as those things within me that they've always been, maybe I'm a little unsure of. So when you actually kind of in that condition of maybe dreams or thoughts or feelings bad, but you've maybe suppressed them or allowed for them to quickly pass, you know, that idea is indulgent or what have you, that's really voice. It's this tuning, if you will, of yourself listening to the way your body about the situation. So for me, it's, you know, difficult conversations, and it's trying to overcome, you know, a variety of patterns in my life that I realize I'm weak in. It's really finding out what's true. And my personal belief, that everyone comes to know this at some point in time, is that your voice, to a certain extent, is derived from, you know, your principles and your core, and that core meaning, like, what's your worldview? if your view is based out of something, you know, of this world, well, then that's not strong, you know. And I didn't grow up with a biblical worldview. My worldview was very much whatever, you know, that central, you know, personality in my life was, which usually that alcoholic, that dominant alcoholic personality. So that was my worldview. So when my worldview changed, that really sparked a lot of the change in my life, and it's been, you know, it's kind of a waterfall ever since.
Wow.
Wow, and that's part of that process, right? So the one revealed process is about taking people through this transformation. And so I know you guys talk about, you know, number one really is to reveal yourself, which means explore your pain and conflicts, and then discover your voice, and then begin learning about yourself and owning it or becoming real. So, again, when you say reveal yourself, explore your pain and conflicts, does that mean, like, what does that mean? Does that mean go to, 'cause I think some people do that at some level and then kind of, that's enough, you know? I remember the first time I went to a counselor and I began to cry because all of this grief and anger and stuff that I'd been stuffing, I thought I would never stop crying, right? This stuff was just coming up. And I honestly, after it was over, went, I'm never going back there again, because that was so scary. That was really scary. And then I went back a few months later, and I began to, of course, get some healing. But talk about revealing yourself and exploring your pain and conflicts a little bit.
Well, I think it can start with things as easy as you... Maybe Scott and I are going through our normal day and he's at work and he calls and says, hey, I'm going to be 30 minutes late. And, you know, maybe a moderate response to that would be like, oh, okay, great. You know, we'll put dinner off. Kids and I will do X, Y, and Z. But a more extreme response to that might be, you know, I'm really angry. I'm yelling at him late. You know, you can easily start by just taking a look at your responses. Now, if I were to respond really angrily like that at him, that would be me like a, you know, a red flag. Hey, what's going on that's making me so angry? So really what it's about is really being more aware. When we're saying reveal yourself, well, you kind of have to have new eyes to yourself. So you're paying attention to your behavior. You're thinking about, well, geez, I feel heavy right now. I feel sad right now. Oh, that person just said that, and for some reason I didn't like that. What didn't I like about it? And really try to dissect it to learn more about yourself and then start to own it. Wow, I've really got some anger. You know, what's that all about? Because it was not, you know, it was not in the same level that it should have been for what happened. Does that kind of make sense? You can...
Totally.
Your eyes and,
makes sense. Because you can see, 30 minutes late, that's no big deal. Why did I react this way? You know, yeah, that definitely is a good good to be able to start looking out for that.
Yeah. And the beautiful thing is, you know, the more with awareness, it really kind of just snowballs on each other. So, I mean, it's just like, you know, when you start looking for things, well, then all of a sudden you see all of those things. You know, when we start looking for God, when we start seeing him in new ways, well, then all of a sudden, oh my God, it's all over all of a sudden. Well, no, he's been all over the whole time. You just didn't see him. And so that's the same thing within ourselves. Well, we've behaved these ways the whole time, but now we just have this new ability. And it is an ability, so it's something you can get better at. And you can see, you know, you can see more, you can see clearer, you can see it faster now all of a sudden once you start practicing that awareness.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, I went through, and I mentioned this to you before, but, it's kind of true. I think, again, a therapist friend of mine, after we've seen a therapist for a while, I just refer to him as my therapist friend, you know, but I remember one time he goes, you know, Randy, here's kind of the anatomy of a sin or something that we do that's wrong is we, you know, something happens, we feel something, we do something. And usually that something that happens triggers some wound And so we feel something mm-hmm. deep within us. And it, you know, a phone call saying you're going to be 30 minutes late shouldn't have been a big deal, but that triggered a wound,
right.
that somehow poked a wound. And so now we do something which, you know, in that case is you overreact, or, you know, in my case would be overeat, or, you know, drink a super
right.
big old Mountain Dew or something. And, you know,
right.
what, and so he says the trick is, you know, something happens, you know, we feel something. At that point, be aware enough, as you say, practice enough awareness to say, okay, whoa, whoa, okay, God, what is that? What is that about, right? And is it true? I mean, you know, and sometimes that's not like this quick formula either, that this happens and it, you know, it's something that we, as you said, we practice it. You're talking about a process that, frankly, isn't just a quick fix, is it?
No, it's really not. Something that you said really kind of piqued my interest when you said, you know, that God, is this true? Because part of the kind of your complex is because we are broken people, we don't really explore that conflict or really ask the questions of ourselves. So what is it? A lot of times what I've found, at least in my own life, and I anticipate this is true, is that because we didn't take the time to explore what that was, it tends to be a lie that we've built our life upon. An example for me was, you know, I grew up thinking that I was a bad little boy. I was a poorly behaved little boy, right? It wasn't until I was 30, until I realized, you know, in a therapy session, much like you described, that they're bad little boys. There's just bad parenting responses to bad behavior. So in effect, I had built my life in almost a tongue-in-cheek story of me being a bad little boy and having a report card that says cannot maintain self-control. But in fact, what that made me do is, because that was a foundational truth that I had built my life upon, I needed to relearn that. I needed to rewire how, you know, that was. I thought that also affected how I also treated my children, my two young children. So it's powerful when you do explore that conflict, because it's important to know that we're constantly moving forward, you know, as a person developing ourselves. And if you're not developing upon a foundation of truth, man, you're in a rough, and that's where we're all at.
Mm. Yeah, I don't think we have a lot of us, we don't have a clue, you know, the lies that are driving our behavior, you know. Based,
right.
like you said, on your situation, and you know, and to find out what the truth is, and that whole idea, and something else I learned in therapy is, you know, the differentiation, right, between what you're feeling and what is true. What am I feeling right now? Okay, is that true, God? No, it's not true.
Uh-huh.
You know, and it's a process, I think, and I think, as you said, Kaylin, we get better at it as we practice it, don't we?
I'm chiming in here, and it's Natalie. I think that sometimes people, when you've gone through dysfunctional families or abuse or different things, you stuff your feelings. If you're taught, you know, children are to be seen and not heard, and some of the generations just kind of taught that way too, and depending on what region of the world you may be from, you know, there's a lot of habits that have been picked up just over the years that can get passed down through generations. And I call them generational curses, because there's blessings and curses that go all the way back in our DNA. And it's interesting, if I learned about that more in ministry counseling. A lot of us do not feel and thinking we're feeling, but we've stuffed our feelings for years, and then you can think out of your brain, and you think you're feeling, you feel the feelings in your stomach, you feel it in your heart, but it might not be true feeling. And through the counseling, getting those feelings out is such an amazing process, right? It can be very painful, where a lot of people quit, but if people get through that point, there's such a healing that goes on, and that's where it's so interesting. The process. I'm so glad you all are doing this, because it's so needed everywhere. Because even if somebody had a great family, it doesn't mean, you know. I'm sorry.
If you think of the experience you just described, where you might have a feeling, but in your family, you're supposed to talk about feelings, well, then all of a sudden that child starts second guessing whether they can trust themselves. And so,
right.
again, you go into your adulthood if you haven't healed that way, and if you haven't learned, well, no, you can trust yourself, and you second guess everything you do because you weren't allowed to actually experience what you're really feeling. Somebody said, oh, no, it's not that big of a deal, or, you know, don't cry, let's keep going, or, you know, you have no right to be angry, you know, whatever. They're kind of imposing their truth on you. And then all of a sudden inside you're really confused. So I find that's really like a lot of what we experience with people we work with is they don't even, you know, they're not even certain what their core is and they're not even certain where they stand because there's so much confusion that needs to be cleared out before they start seeing again.
Yeah, wow. Mm. Yeah.
You did it again, Kaylin. you nailed me. Wow, that's twice in one day. That's amazing because that is so true about second guessing. That is so big for me, not trusting my own decisions. So I'm always second guessing because I was never allowed to feel, right? I was never allowed to think one way because I was always being told it was another way or whatever, being controlled. So. That's twice in one day. I'm going to have you on. I'm going to have to find radio shows for you every day because that's powerful.
Awesome.
Hey, you guys, we have got 2 minutes left. Scott, parting shot for folks and then maybe, again, some contact information, how people can get a hold of you.
Absolutely. So our parting shots are really just kind of revealing our hearts. You know, we have gotten such unbelievable transformation in our relationships as a married couple, in our relationship with others, and I believe the way that God has blessed us to help inspire us to then reveal themselves. And what it does is it really does this movement because you have this sense of transparency that, you know, in majority of the churches in this world that, you know, we don't experience, but also, you know, in the majority of acts and main streets of this world, we don't experience. So when all of a sudden you're starting a relationship with somebody with a baseline of transparency, it really does open up the door for all sorts of conversations and an invitation into their lives that I don't think that is afforded much. So, you know, again, we believe that it's all about revealing yourselves, helping being known, really the practice of revealing yourselves and kind of being on that campaign to say, hey, this is who I am. And then all of a sudden people are attracted to you or not as a result of that, and then inspiring others to do that. And we believe that that inspiration kind of just spreads itself into all walks of life. So, you know, for us,
awesome.
The way you can get in contact with us is revealed.com. You can find us on Facebook at One Revealed Incorporated, and our handle is @One_Revealed.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Revealing
ourselves.
Very
empowering. Thank you.
Absolutely. Again, powerful, you guys. Thank you so much for what you're doing. And literally here we have 60 seconds. I want to ask you one real quick question. So you guys take folks through this process. Is that the deal? People can sign up to
That's
go
right.
through a process with you, right?
Yeah, individually or in groups. It all depends on their preferences.
Wow. 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 Very cool. Well, again, find them on Facebook, One Revealed, or, again, onerevealed.com. They're working on, you know, revamping the website and getting it up and running, but write down One Revealed and really tuck that away because this is powerful stuff. You guys have blessed me twice today. So, oh, man,
awesome.
I've got to get you out
Thank
there more,
you.
Which is what we're trying to do. Thanks
again.
Thanks
for coming on. It was
guys.
Wonderful. It was so inspiring. And I hope everybody will go to onerevealed.com. And to everybody out there, I wish you peace.
Thank you for joining us on Realty Universal Radio. Our hope is that you are enlightened, encouraged, and mobilized to be an agent of change. Realty Universal is on Facebook. Join us there. Follow us also on Twitter @RealtyUniversal. And for more information, you can go to RealtyUniversal.com. Make it a great day.